I think I'll first introduce myself. I'm the Paradigm. I love flying covered up ships. And why I started going in wormholes first, because in wormholes covered ops is even more powerful than in normal space, because there's no local, so you're totally invisible. And I love that kind of gameplay, just sneaking up on people and go kill them without them even knowing I'm there. After that, I kind of got a bit bored with it, and then I found a video on YouTube. It was from the Bomber Spar. They killed a whole Drake fleet with a massive bomb run. Joined the channel, got a few of the fleets. I volunteered to be an FC there. That went pretty well. Also, in Bomber Spar, we have some classes. And I noticed that a lot of people really want to learn stuff. And I know Eve Uni really wants to help new players. And that's how I ended up here, giving a guest lecture. In this class, I'm gonna be covering the covert ops cloaking device, all the nice things you can do with it, bombers, and their bomb launchers. I will not be going into very deep bombing tactics using the bombs. I think there's just been a class about it a few days ago. Next up, I'll cover the recon ships. Recon ships with the covert ops cloak, of course. And then I'll also cover tech tree ships with the covert ops subsystem. Next is the black ops ship, which has a very nice module called the jump portal generator, which helps you do very, very fun things. After that, I'm going to go some bit deeper into tactics. I'll talk about how to set up a gate camp with covert ops ships. And all the things that go with that. I'll talk about hot drops with covert ops. In the forum post, I said I'd talk about wormholes, but that's not gonna happen because when I really got into it, I have to explain so many wormhole mechanics that I wouldn't be able to talk about the tactics. Maybe I'll do another class about that another time. If we have time left over, though, I'll do a open mic Q&A. Just to answer some more questions that haven't been answered in the class itself. First on the list, the covert ops cloaking device. This very nice module is basically the core of everything, every ship that I will be covering in this class. It is a better version of a normal cloaking device. This one will let you warp cloaked, which means you'll be less visible, which is very handy. It also doesn't have the speed reduction when you have it active, so you can move at full speed. And it doesn't have the scan resolution penalty, which makes your ship lock slower. But about the cloak itself, what it does is as soon as you click the covert ops cloaking device, you will not be able to get targeted anymore. You will not be able to activate a cloak if you're already targeted. It doesn't matter by what. That can be rats, drones, other ships. Then you will not be able to activate it. But if you're not locked by anything and you are not within 2,000 meters of any object, then you can cloak. This will make you completely untargetable. And after a few seconds, you will also disappear from the overview and descan. This is something that not everyone knows. It is not instantaneous. You will not just disappear from the overview as soon as you click it. That's why when you cloak up on a gate, sometimes people actually be able to decloak you because you stay on grid for a little longer so they can actually burn towards you and decloak you. This also can cause other people... You can also still decloak other bombers or other people that have a covered up cloaking device in those few seconds. With Bomber Spar, we've seen it happen. So, careful, it's not yet. Also, when you're cloaked and something goes within 2,000 meters of you, your cloak will be broken. This can be literally anything. Flying missiles do it, flying bombs do it, ships do it, drones do it. They recently patched that probes. They don't decloak you anymore. That was recently changed. But it's when you're cloaked, you should have an overview that has every single item on it. So you don't just randomly burn into a corpse or something, which is what most people don't have on their regular overviews. Also, when you're chased by Concord or the faction police because of bad standings, you will not be able to cloak even when you're not targeted. Someone asked a question. Micro warp drive plus cloak trick. No, you can't use the trick because you can warp cloak, so you don't need it. You can still activate your micro warp drive before or just after you cloaked, so you still have a little bit move speed if you're in a bubble, for example. But you don't have to stop being cloaked to warp. Are there any more questions about the cloak? Okay, someone asked a question. Can you still cloak if someone is trying to lock you but doesn't have you locked yet? Yes, you will cloak. And the guy that is trying to target you will get a message that target is no longer there. Cloaks work on every ship. However, I'm talking more about the Covid Ops cloaking device. Those cannot be fitted to every single ship. I think if you click on the Covid Ops cloaking device and you go to the Attributes tab, it will give you a list of every single type of ship that can actually use the Covid Ops cloaking device. Next up, I'm going to talk about the bomber. I'm just going to cover every bomber, what their points are, what their weak points are. Okay, first up, Nemesis. This is the Galante bomber. The best thing about this bomber is its damage type. Every single bomber has a bonus to his native damage type. That would be thermal for the Nemesis, which is Galante. That is kinetic for the Manticore, for the Caldari. Explosive for the Hound. And EM damage for the Purifier. Also, every single bomber has a very nice trait. It can use torpedo launchers, which are actually battleship-sized modules. They have a bonus to them that they use a lot less power grid. I think it's 99.65% reduction in power grid. Every single bomber also has three launcher slots, so you can fit three bombers. The other major bonus they have is they have a bonus to torp velocity and torpedo fly time, which basically make them have the range of, I think it's the old heavy missiles before the nerf. Like for instance, with my skills, I can hit to 60 kilometers on a ship that's not fitted for extra range. They also have a bonus to explosion velocity of the torpedoes. That will mean that they do more damage to ships that are flying fast. It isn't a very large bonus, but it still helps to hit ships that are moving a bit faster. And then there is the 15% damage bonus to the racial damage type, which is absolutely awesome. That's why I recommend, if you like to fly bombers, that you train the covered up skill to 5, because the extra 15% damage can give a nice bonus. Also, every single bomber has a 5% bonus to bomb damage type for their ratio. Again, that's the same thermal for Galante and etc. Another very nice thing about a bomber is it completely removes the targeting delay after decloaking from a cloaking device. So with a bomber, you can decloak and instantly start locking someone else. With the regular cloaking device, I think there's a 30-second delay. and the recons have a 5-second delay, same as the tech 3 ships. That's the major bonus of using a bomber, because it can just instantly lock after you decloak. Okay, and let's go back to Nemesis. Yeah, like I said, the best thing about Nemesis is damage type. It's thermal. Thermal is basically the damage type you want to use if you're not sure what you're going up against, because it is the lowest resist on average. Other than that, Nemesis has not very good power grid and CPU, which makes it a bit harder to fit than all the other bombers. Also, it has the slowest align time of every bomber, which can be bad if you're in a tight spot and need to get out really fast. Next up is the Manticore. The Manticore has the best CPU, base CPU stat, which makes it really easy to fit a point and some EWAR on it. That's why most people think the Manticore is actually the best bomber, because it has very high utility. You can basically fit a point and any kind of EWAR you want on it. A sensor damp, a tracking disruptor, whatever you think will be best in your what you're going up against. However, you pay for it with the lowest speed, and not the align time, the lowest speed. It's slower, and it has the worst lock time of every single bomber. Next up is the Hound. The Hound is the fastest bomber. It has the fastest base speed. It also has the fastest align time, and it has the fastest scan resolution. This is basically the best bomber if you want to tackle stuff, because it just locks insanely fast and it aligns fast, so if you have someone with probes out, you can instantly walk to them and tackle them. It has also explosive damage, which makes it good versus most armored tank ships if they didn't pluck their explosive resist hole. And then lastly is the Purifier. Its best point of it is its cargo. Every other bomber can only carry 2 bombs in its cargo hold. The Purifier can carry 3, which if you're in prolonged fight and you need to launch a lot of bombs, that can be very helpful. It also has the highest base power grid, which makes it fairly easy to tank it with shield extenders. Also, I didn't mention the slot layouts. The Nemesis and the Manticore have 4 mid slots and 2 low slots, which make them better for utility EWAR medium slots, like sensor dams, tracking disruptors. And the Hound and the Purifier have 3 mediums and 3 lows, which makes them a lot easier to fit, because they can fit the micro auxiliary powers or co-processors in the low slots. And those give extra power grid and CPU, which just makes it easier to fit. And also because of that, they have an easier time fitting for maximum damage, because you can put more ballistic control systems in the lows. Let's see, I saw a question somewhere. Is it worth using a passive targeting module? Passive targeting. I think that's the one that doesn't show that you're actually locking someone. I'm not sure about that one, actually. Ah, yeah. On a bomber, I'd say no, it's not really worth putting it on there. If the best thing you want to do is decloak close to your target, or if you have some recon support to jam it out first, and just kill it as fast as possible, because even if you fit a medium shield extender on a bomber, it's still very, very fragile, and it dies so fast that you just want to kill whatever you're shooting at as fast as possible. And so there's no point in having a passive targeter, because if you're uncloaked, you want to be shooting stuff. Are there any more questions about the bomber? Okay, I'll take that as a no. Next up is the special module that's special designed for the bomber. It is the bomb launcher. The bomb launcher is special in the way that it launches a bomb. It can be either one of the four damage bombs, scorch bombs, concussion bombs, shrapnel bombs, electron bombs, which do damage, or it can launch EOR bombs, the void bomb, which neutralizes cap, and the lockbreaker bomb that basically is a remote ECM burst that will try to break the locks of anything that's in the radius of the bomb. The special thing about bombs is you don't need to target anything to use them. The bomb goes in a straight line from your bomber to wherever you're aligning to. It goes for exactly 30 kilometers and then blows up. It blows up with a radius of 15 kilometers, and every single ship, whether or not it's cloaked or not, or drones, will get damaged by the bomb. A thing to note about bombs is it is only affected by signature radius, the size of your ship. It is not affected by speed, which normal missiles are. That's why if you see a bomb coming towards you, you do not want to use a micro warp drive. The micro warp drive increases your signature radius by a lot, but usually when you're fighting against missile ships, you often go so fast that the missiles barely hit you. However, with a bomb, it doesn't matter how fast you go, you get hit. And because of the bigger signature radius you get, you basically get insta-pop by any bomb. Unless you're really, really tanky. And that can cause some hilarious kill mails. Just recently, there was a lone bomber that launched a bomb, and he killed 52 bombers with a single bomb, because they all had their micro-op. It's just ridiculous. That's why, if you see a bomb towards you, please turn off your micro-op drives and just take the bomb and don't try to outrun it, because you probably won't and you will get hit very, very, very hard. Another thing about bombs. Bombs also hit other bombs, which means that you can blow up other people's bombs with your own bomb, and if you are the one bombing, you want to use the same kind of bomb. I'll link one of the bombs here. It's a scorch bomb. If you look at the attributes, you can see that it has a armor thermal damage resistance bonus of 99.5%. The other resistances are at zero. Which means if you want to use bombs, you have to make sure that everyone in your fleet is using the same bombs. If you look at the hit points of a bomb, which is just 50 HP, then you see that a bomb does just massive damage and just kills any other bomb that is in this area. So use the same bombs. This is kind of true with the EOR bombs as well. However, they don't do that much. But if you use EOR bombs and you launch one regular bomb with them, the regular bomb will blow up all the EOR bombs and nothing will happen. And that's basically the worst thing that can happen if you're actually doing a bomb run and someone fires a wrong bomb and basically all your work is for nothing. There's a question. What's the deal with the sick radius and frigates? They're still tiny. I don't know the actual formula that calculates how much damage you do to a frigate. However, the micro-warp drive gives you such a big signature radius boost, I think it's 500%, that even a frigate has such a large signature radius that a bomb will do enough damage to just insta. If you look at the Scorch Bomb again, you see that the base thermal damage is 6400 HP, which is a lot. Most frigates don't have an HP much higher than, let's say, about 4k HP. So that's why most frigates just insta-pop when they get hit with a bomb if they have the micro-outrun effective. Other than that, these precise bombing tactics won't be covered in this class, because it's basically a class on its own, and I wanted to go more in using the actual ships themselves than just this one module. Okay, next up, recon ships. The E-War backbone of any covert ops fleet. First, I will talk about the bonus that every single recon ship has. I'll link one here. This is just the Erasmus. If you look at the description, you will see the role bonuses that every single ship has is a 80% reduction in liquid ozone consumption. And a 50% reduction in sinus sewer field duration. This is very nice if you have a covert sino on it. With a covert sino, it will only take 5 liquid ozone fuel. With a normal sino, it will take 100 at level 5. So it's a really big reduction. And a 50% reduction in sinus sewer field duration makes it easier to just light a class, light a sino. And get out before bad things happen to you. Other thing that all recon ships have in common is their 20% reduction per recon ship level to cloaking device CPU power need, or CPU need. This was a lot more. There was a recent patch that changed it, that will make it, I think, it is 100 CPU at no recon skill and 0 CPU at recon level 5. It used to be that you had an increase of 100 CPU to every level of recon ships that you didn't have. This is not a real important bonus. It's basically 20 CPU per level, but if you have a really tight fit, it's worth training recon ships 5. But the real reason you want to train recon ships to 5 is their other bonus in the recon ship skill. For the Erazu, that is the 20% bonus in warp scrambler and warp disruption range. This will basically mean that if you have a tech 2 point on your Erazu, it can go a lot farther. I think it's 48 kilometers unoverloaded. If you go with faction points and you have fleet boosts, you can get an Erazu to point over 100 kilometers, which is really, really annoying for the enemy, that is, because they simply can't get away. The warp scrambler bonus is also nice. It means you don't have to get really, really close to the target to actually put a warp scrambler on it. With the recent introduction of the micro jump drive, you want to put warp scramblers on battleships, otherwise they click that micro jump drive and they're instantly 100 kilometers away, where you simply can't catch them anymore. Or your guns or your bombers don't have the range to hit them anymore. The next ship is the Falcon. That's a Falcon. The Falcon has a very big bonus to ECM. Bonus from recon ship itself is a 30% bonus to jammer strength. That basically makes the Falcon one of the best jamming ships in the game. It's also why it's hated by almost everyone in the game. Because when you get a jam on a ship, it will put their amount of ships they can lock to 0, so most ships are completely useless by then. There are some exceptions, auto-targeting missiles, bombers, etc., but there are very minority of ships. The next ship is the Rapier. The rapier has a 2-point range. Not point range, sorry. It has a bonus to web range. It is 60%, which is actually huge. This means at recon level 5, you'll be able to web stasis rapify ships at 40 kilometers unoverloaded. With overload, it's 52 kilometers. Seeing that a normal web only webs at 10 kilometers, that's a really, really, really big difference. This is also one of the ships you really need to make a bomber gamma effective. Although bombers have that bonus to exposure velocity, still it won't hit frigates very well if they're moving. So having a rapier on grid and webbing it at 40 kilometers really gets the torps to hit a whole lot better. The last ship is the Pilgrim. The Pilgrim is what most people think the best solo force recon ship. This is because it has a bonus to drone damage and hit points, which basically gives it more DPS than all the other recons. It also has a bonus to energy vampire and energy neutralizer amount. This means it will drain the cap of the ship you're trying to neut a lot faster. At recon ships level 5, it's twice as fast. That means any active partners will go offline. The drones can simply drug and kill the target. It also has a bonus to tracking disruptor effectiveness. It's 7.5% per level, but that's from the Amar Cruiser skill bonus. This is fairly useful in bombers gangs, but most of the times they are overclassed by the Arazu, who can sensor damp, which I actually didn't think I said. Oops. Let's go finish the Pilgrim, then we'll go back to the Arazu. But tracking disruptors, it basically causes guns to either have a whole less, more optimal range, which means you can actually burn out of their range a lot easier, or it has reduce their tracking. And if you get close to the ship, orbit it, the guns won't be able to track the gun your own ship anymore, which basically makes you take zero damage. Now to go back to the Arazu, that one has a bonus to sensor dampening. Sensor damps can be used in two different ways. You have the scan resolution dampening. That causes other ships to reduce their scan resolution, which makes them take longer to target your ship, which can be useful in some cases, especially if you're flying a frigate like a bomber and you're using it on a battleship. It will take a battleship like 15 seconds to lock your bomber. And if you have a lot of bombers, that most often is enough to kill the battleship before it can even get a lock on you. And the range dampeners, they can get the targeting range of the opposing ship a lot lower, which means you can actually just stay outside the targeting range and they won't be able to target you, and so they won't be able to shoot you. This works especially well on frigates and cruisers because their targeting ranges aren't that high to begin with. I saw a few questions. One question about covert sinos. I will cover them a bit later in this class. Launching drone. Another question that was asked, if launching drones will break the cloak. You simply can't launch your drones if you're cloaked. It won't let you. You have to decloak first, and then you can launch your drones. I'm not exactly sure about the drones itself. I don't think that it was changed, but I think drones still decloak you as from now. I'm not quite sure. I heard someone tell me that drones don't decloak you anymore, but that is not confirmed by me. Okay, lots of people are saying that drones will still decloak you. Okay. Next on the list. Tech 3 cruisers. I'm especially gonna cover their subsystem that allows them to fit a covert ops clip. I'm gonna link one of the cruisers. It is the Proteus. This one is the Galanti strategic cruiser. It has another subsystem that you can put on it, which basically makes it into a mini Arazu. That is the friction extension processor. That one gives it a 10% bonus to warp disruptor and warp scrambler range. It is half the amount of what the Arazu gets. However, that is offset by the fact that it's a Tech 3 cruiser and it has a whole lot more tank. It's also a lot more expensive. But that's basically a personal choice you have to make. Do you want the better E-War or do you want more tank and more survivability? The subsystem that allows Tech 3s to put covert ops cloaking device on is the covert reconfiguration. I'm linking the Proteus effect, the Proteus one. They exist for every single other Tech 3 cruiser as well. If you look at the bonuses, it gives a 100% reduction in cloaking device CPU, which is really nice. A normal covert ops cloak uses, I think, 100 CPU, so that one's zero, which makes it very easy to fit on Tech 3 cruisers. Note that this subsystem will also allow the strategic cruiser to fit covert ops, covert sinusoidal field generator. It basically turns the Tech 3 into a tankier recon. The next Tech 3 cruiser is the tank. It has the same covert reconfiguration subsystem and its EWAR subsystem that turns it, tries to turn it into a Falcon. I'm not going to try to pronounce it. That subsystem gives the ECM a 12.5% bonus to optimal range. And note that it only gives a bonus to range. And not a single bonus to jam strength. That's why the Tengu is not used as a jamming ship. You never see those. The Tengu with the covert configuration subsystems used. Most of them use it for exploring because it has missiles which have very nice range. So you don't have to burn in range to shoot everything. But outside exploring, you don't see many covert Tengus, except maybe for if you're hot dropping or something like that. And hot dropping is a topic I will cover later in this class. Next up is the Loki. The Loki has a subsystem that allows it to get greater rapid fire range. It's the immobility driver subsystem. If you look at subsystem, it gives a 30% bonus to stasis rapid firing. This is, again, not as much as the Rapier get, but same with the Proteus. You get more tank, which, again, is your own choice, whichever you think is best. And also a very nice thing of the Loki is it can fit either a shield or an armor tank. With a shield tank, it is very nice DPS, even with the covert configuration subsystem on it. With an armor tank, it is basically a bigger, tankier Rapier. The last Tech 3 cruiser is the Legion. The Legion has bonus to, goddammit, the subsystem that makes it a recon is the energy parasitic complex. This one gives it 10% bonus to energy neutralizer and vampire. This is basically, again, a less bonus than the pilgrim has. And again, it just has more tank than the pilgrim. Legions in the COVID configuration are not seen that much. It does have decent DPS with COVID system. However, the EWAR system is almost rarely used. You could see it in wormhole space or in a hot drop if you're trying to kill something that needs to be neutralized. So, question. The question is about losing skill points when you lose your tech tree cruiser. That is true. If you get killed while you're in a tech tree cruiser, you will lose one of the subsystem skills. Every single tech tree cruiser has 5 subsystem skills you have to train to use it. It has a offensive, electronic, defensive, propulsion and engineering subsystem. Every single one of these subsystems has to be trained, and if you get killed while using your tech tree, one of these skills will get lowered by one level. At level 5 to level 4, I think that's about a 4 to 5 day skill that you lose, and you will have to train again. Another thing to note with Tech 3 Cruisers is it does not have the same sinusoidal field bonuses. That means if you put a covert sinusoidal field on your Tech 3 Cruiser, it will have a 1-minute cycle and will use 25 liquid ozone instead of just having a half-minute cycle and using 5 liquid ozone. Okay, the next thing I'm going to cover is the Black Ops ships. They're kind of a weird thing in the covert line of ships. By that I mean they can't actually use the covert ops cloaking device. This means they cannot warp cloaked. That is the major downside of using a Black Ops ship. Just a quick question before that. Someone asked if you eject before the tech tree explodes. Yes, that works. If you eject before your tech tree explodes, you will not use your skill points. However, because tech tree ships have a very high armor or shield resist, which as soon as you hit structure, because it's basically just a cruiser, it dies immediately, which makes actually ejecting for your ship really, really difficult to do it exactly in time. Just don't do it too early or you waste precious time for your friends to get reps on you or something. A lot of people are actually saying you do lose skill points now. I don't know whether or not that is true. Could be. I do know that when I first lost my tech tree cruiser, I did eject and I didn't lose skill points, but that was a while back. Apparently it's a new change, so getting out of your ship doesn't help you anymore. Okay, let's go back to Black Ops. I'm gonna link the first one. It's the Sin. The Sin is the Galanti Black Ops. It has a bonus to hybrid damage, drone hit points, and I think all the Black Ops have the same bonuses. That gives it a bonus to agility and cloaked velocity. The Sin is one of the more used Black Ops ships. This is because of its fitting. Because the Black Ops ships are not very good in combat, they are almost always just used as a bridger. I'll talk about the bridge a bit later. That means they want to carry a lot of fuel in their cargo hold so they can bridge more people. And Ascend is very good for that because it has 6 low slots and 6 medium slots, which means you can use the low slots to fit the cargo extenders and the medium slots to fit a shield tank. So just in case you get attacked, you still have a bit of survivability. The next ship is the Widow. The Widow is the Caldari Black Ops. It has a bonus to ECM Jammer Strength. And a bonus to Torpedo and Cruise Missiles. But the really nice thing about this is the ECM, the Jammer Strength. This basically turns it into a Scorpion, which can be very useful if you get, if the Black Ops gets tackled for a reason, you can just jam and get away. The next ship is the Panther. This is the Mimitar Black Ops. This has to be the least used Black Ops ship, just because it simply doesn't have a good bonus. It has a bonus to velocity and turret damage. But seeing that Black Ops are almost never used in combat, those bonuses are not very helpful. It also has one less medium slot than the Sin, which makes it a bit harder to shield tank it. And that's why people go for the Sin over a Panther. The last one is the Redeemer, the Amarba Black Ops ship. This one actually has the best combat statistic or combat capabilities of any Black Ops. That's why if you actually see people trying to kill stuff with the Black Ops ship, they'll use a Redeemer. It has a bonus to capacitor use and rate of fire, and also turret tracking. So basically makes it the best ship to actually apply damage with. Also, it has 7 low slots, which makes it able to fit a lot of cargo extenders, which allow a lot of fuel to be hauled with it, so you can actually bridge more people. Okay. Then, next up is a special module designed for the Black Ops ship. It is the Covert Jump Portal Generator. It is kind of similar to a Titan Bridge. However, only ships that can use a Covert Ops cloaking device can jump through this portal. If you click on the info, you will see that it has a 20-second activation time. When the Black Ops ship is using this module, it cannot move. Its speed is reduced to 0. And it cannot get any remote assistance, either being remote repairs, armor repairs, shield repairs, remote sensor boosters, and all that kind of stuff. You simply cannot use it on the ship while it is using the bridge. The Covert Jump Portal Generator is also the only portal generator that can lock onto a covert signal. A Titan Bridge cannot lock on a covert signal. How to use the bridge is actually very easy. You will have to be within 2,500 meters of the Black Ops ship. Then there has to be a pilot in your fleet who lights either a normal sino or a covert sino. Black Ops can also lock on to a normal sino. This Black Ops pilot has to activate this module and create a bridge to the sino. And then what everyone else has to do is just simply right-click on the Black Ops ship and select Jump To. And the destination system will be listed there. Then you just simply are teleported to the location of the sino. After you get there, which is different from a normal gate jump, is that you will not be cloaked. After a gate jump, you will be cloaked. No one can see you. You can see what's around you. But if you use a bridge, you will not be cloaked. you still have your 30-second invulnerability timer as long as you do not do anything. You can just sit there on the spot you arrived on, and you cannot be targeted, and you cannot take any damage. However, as soon as you start moving, you will break the invulnerability, and you can get shot, and you can shoot, and you can get scrambled, and you can die, which is not fun. There's a question, are there any range restrictions on covered signers and gym portals? The range of the Black Ops bridge has recently been increased to the same as a Titan bridge. I don't know the exact number of light years that is at jump drive calibration level 5. However, a very nice thing of the covert Sino is that you can actually use it in a system that has a Sino jammer in it. So even when you won't be able to light a regular Sino in the system, if you light a covert Sino, you will be able to use it. But more on that will come later in this class. Someone said something about Doomcats. Yes, it's called a tactical zero-velocity bombing. Normally, bombs go in a straight line from wherever you are aligned to. However, after jumping a gate or using a jump bridge, you will not be moving at all. That means that your ship doesn't have any alignment. So when you launch your bomb, it will just sit there, right in front of your ship, not moving. And that is indeed a tactic that sometimes has been used, just jump bombers in and let them drop their bombs immediately after bridging in and killing everything that's relatively close to the Sino. However, this is quite literally a suicide tactic because the bombs will also kill yourself. Question about covert Sinos in incursion systems. I actually have never tested this. I think that it has the same thing as a Sino sword jammer, so you should be able to use a covert Sino. I've not tested this myself. Question about invulnerability after the jump, if that does save the bombers from a zero velocity bomb. No, it does not, because activating your bomb launcher is an action, and any action will break your cloak. Also, break your invulnerability. Even activating a damage control will stop you from being invulnerable. Okay, next up on the list is the tactics that you can use with covered up ships. A little disclaimer at the start, these are my personal experiences and the experiences I've collected with Bomberspar. I will not say these are the best tactics you will ever see. I am not saying these are the only tactics you can use. What I can say is they have worked very well for me in what I have done. Okay, the first basic tactic about the covered ups gang is the gate cam. I'm first going to talk about the advantages of doing a gate cam with covered up ship. One of the advantages is even though there is local, people don't actually see your ships on the gate. This means people will do stupid stuff because they don't know anyone is actually there. With Bomberspar, we've camped gates before, and people just walk to the gate, see a bunch of wrecks, and go think, oh, there might be some shiny loot in those wrecks. Let's go burn to the wrecks and get the loot. And then about 20 bombers decloak, rapier decloaks, falcon decloaks, and yeah, ship doesn't have a very nice time. And we get raged at. Another advantage of using a covered ops gang is you can very easily pick your target. Because you are cloaked, no one will be able to target you or even see where you are. This means if you see a very large gang coming through, you can simply say, oh, we will not decloak for this and we'll let them pass. If you use non-cloaking ships, the same gang will come in, see you, and try to kill you. Another very nice advantage is the element of surprise. Because people don't know where you are exactly, when suddenly 20 ships decloak next to you, people panic. When people panic, they make mistakes. And with covert ops gangs, you can make very easy, you can take advantage of that. Like if you're in a cloaky ship yourself and you jump into a system and suddenly you see 20 people decloak, you might accidentally double click your cloak, which causes you to not be cloaked and you get shot. We've seen this happen a lot of times. And another nice thing is you can very easily bait with covert ops ships. Because you don't have to wait for people to warp to your position, you can just leave one bomber uncloaked, and as soon as someone tries to kill it, you can decloak, and because bombers don't have a targeting delay, you can just instantly target the guy and kill him, without having to wait to warp in, land on grid, and then target, which often takes a lot of time, especially if you do not want to be on directional scan. The major disadvantages of using covert ops at the gate camp is that most of your DPS will be in bombers, and bombers are glass cannons. That means they have very high DPS, but almost no tank. Most Insta-Lock ships, like Insta-Lock Hurricanes or Insta-Lock Tornadoes, will just easily one-shot a bomber, which makes losing your ships very likely if you're not very prepared for it. Another disadvantage is that you kind of need recons to be very effective with recon ships. Just bombers, they can't really kill a lot because, yeah, basically they're glass cannons. And even drones can kill a bomber very, very fast, even if you have a medium shield extender fitted. With recons, however, you can sensor damp, jam, web every single ship down, so they can't hurt the bombers, and the bombers apply a lot more DPS because they simply cannot move. And most bombers also fit target painters, which makes the signature radius of the ship a lot higher, and that will make the target take a lot more damage. There's a few questions. Question, what support ships do you use in covert ops fleets? Like I said, recons are very, very important. Just a bomber gang, like I said, is really hard to kill anything with. However, if you add a single rapier, you can kill frigates and cruisers a lot easier. If you add a falcon, you will be able to tackle multiple targets because you can jam them out. Those are basically the most important ships to have with you. Other than that, you can also use an Arazu that helps you point stuff on when they are far away, and also put sensor dampeners on stuff that tries to snipe you or something. Then lastly, there's the Pilgrim. Those are not really used that often in gate camp fleets, just because a Falcon and a Razor do their job better. And nudes are most often not very necessary in covered up sleeves because you have so much DPS that there's absolutely no point to try to nuke the target to turn off its hardeners or to turn off its active tank. And the tracking disruptors are kind of worse than the sensor dampeners of the Arazu, because if the Arazu gets successful sensor damps on a ship, they are most often not even able to target. That will also shut off missile-based ships. Tracking disruptor will not do anything to missile-based ships. Another support ship you can use is a blockade runner. I've not talked about those a lot. Those are basically the haulers that can fit a covert ops cloaking device. You can use them, especially if you're going into some deeper nullsec or you plan to be out there for a while and you're not close to trade hub. They can carry bombs, nanite repair bay, spare modules, and all that nice stuff. And they can also be used to store any fancy loot you get. Because even in entry systems, people fly ridiculous expensive ships sometimes. And you want to keep your loot safe. Another thing you need to make an effective gate camp is scouts. This is basically, it's one of the most important things. Scouts will tell you when a large fleet is about to arrive, so you can disengage from a target and get cloaked up before bad stuff happens to you. They can also tell you when very shiny ships arrive, so you can actually go away from the gate camp for a while and go kill another target. They also help when being on the other side of a gate, so they can tell you what's jumping in, so you know if you want to decloak for whatever is jumping through the gate. Decloaking before the target actually jumps into system will mean that recons will already have spent their 5-second delay in targeting after decloaking. The bombers don't have it, but it's very nice to have a Falcon ready to jam whatever it's jumping in, instead of having to decloak and wait 5 seconds before waiting to target. Another question, how many scouts do you prefer, and what type of hulls? Basically, if you want to be gate camping, you want to have a scout on the other side of the gate, that you're camping on the different gates in the system and one system out from there. So basically a scout on at the other side of every gate in the system, so you have decent intel on about what's coming in. And it's also nice to have scouts in system in other places, like other gates, to know if a ship is doing something stupid or somewhere else in system, so you can go kill it. The best hulls to do scouting with, I would say, is a covered-up ship, like a Helios, a Buzzard, Anathema, or Cheetah. These are very fast little ships. They also have a covered-up cloaking device, so they won't be noticed as easily. And they have a very nice bonus to probes, which makes it easier to scan stuff down if needed. That also brings me to another thing you might need on your gate camp, that is someone with probes. Most likely when you start doing a gate camp, intel channels will not have caught you already, and people will just warp straight to the gate and land in a bubble. I will cover how bubble works later. After a while, people start using tacticals, gate that is not in line with bubble, so you can go around it. But if you have a guy who knows how to use his probes and his D-scan, you can actually get a 100% scan result on it on him as soon as he lands on his tactical on the gate, and you can warp to it and go kill him at his safe spot. Okay, next thing I'm gonna cover is the bookmarks. This is something that Bomber's Bar uses a lot. Bookmarks are very useful in a gate camp because they help the SC know where the fleet is. They can help you escape from any danger. They can also help in getting decent warp-ins when you don't have probes. If you have a lot of bookmarks around the gate, you can use bookmarks to basically go try and find someone that's not on zero on the gate. I linked picture. This picture basically shows how Bomber's Bar does their bookmark. This is kind of a good way to make bookmarks, because that way everyone knows how the bookmarks work and no one gets it wrong when people try to, let's say, go to 300 left. If you look at the picture, you can the picture is set up with a tactical overlay on. the way the bookmarks are set up, you try to have the sun to your back. Not exactly to your back, but just at the back side of you. And then the bookmarks are set up along the number lines you see on the tactical overlay. That means that the close bookmark is not directly aligned towards the sun, but it is closest to the sun. The far bookmark is on the opposite side of the gate, and if you have your back to the sun, left is left and right is right. And then there's also bookmarks above and below the gate. This makes a very nice little diamond shape around the gate, so you have a bookmark on every single spot, which makes it very easy to warp around, get close to targets, and get away if needed. That's why it's also very handy to have your people and places. You should see that in your Neocon. And then there's the places tab. And when we have a gate camp running, we ask every single pilot to have their list of bookmarks open on their screen. It helps with just being a lot faster in warping to bookmarks instead of being or having to right-click in space and then look to all your bookmarks. You can just have the bookmarks on your gate in a separate folder, and you can just click on your bookmark right there and then, so, which is a lot easier and makes warping to bookmarks a lot faster. Another reason why we use bookmarks is because, like I said, bombers are glass cannons. They don't have a lot of tank. What keeps them safe is being fast. So you can use your bookmarks to have something to align to. That means that what is done in Bomber's Bar is that even before you decloak, you select one of your bookmarks and you right-click on it and you select Align To. And after that, you decloak, which means as soon as you decloak, you can warp away as soon as something bad happens, like other bombers try to bomb you or another fleet warps in and tries to kill you. And that means you're already aligned and you just have to click the bookmark again, click warp to, you're instantly gone. And that will keep you safe a lot of the time. So basically, if you want to be gate camming system, you want to have bookmarks on a gate. What Bomber's Bar uses is a set of 300 in every single direction and a set of off-grid bookmarks also in every single direction. That means the off-grid bookmarks are for keeping very safe because you're off-grid, so people won't be able to see you anymore, even if you can't cloak up immediately. And the 300 bookmarks are used to warp around gate and get close to targets without being noticed. There's a question. Experience would Bomber's Bar look for in new recruits? Some basic PvP experience would be very nice. Other than that, we teach everything about bombers that you need to know to be effective in your fleet there. So also being knowing how to fit your ship would be very nice. We have a lot of fittings pre-made, but when people just copy and paste fittings, that is not the best thing because they don't learn. We try to teach the pilots to fit their own bombers. Also, a very important thing you will have to need, which you need to set up an effective gate camp, is a bubble. A bubble is basically a term that is used for any kind of warp disruption field generator, which is either on a interdictor, a heavy interdictor, or a mobile warp disruptor. What they do is they actually place a visible bubble on your screen, and once you're inside the bubble, you simply cannot warp. The only thing that is not affected by the bubble is the interdiction nullifier subsystem. Link that. That's the only ship that will not be affected by any kind of bubble. I'm now gonna explain how bubbles work. I made a very bad looking image, but I think it will help to explain how bubbles work. Okay, I'd like everyone to open the link I just posted in lecture. No. As you can see, there is a someone is warping from gate A to gate B. The line that is he is warping from shown, and there is a bubble that it represents the grid. The grid is not exactly a 100% circle. It can be moved. It's not always stationary, but it's just a visual aid to help you understand bubbles. First off, a bubble will only affect your warp if it is on grid with your destination. Like bubble C is not on grid with your with the actual gate, which means that if you put a bubble there, it will not stop people from will not stop people in the bubble right there. Also, bubble D is also off grid on the other side, and no one will get pulled into the bubble either. Then the bubbles you will want to use, that is either bubble A or bubble B. Bubble A is called a stop bubble. What it does is if you warp from gate A to gate B, it will basically pull you out of warp ahead of where you would land. So you will not land directly on the gate. You will land on the red X at the edge of the bubble on the place where you're warping from. Then there is bubble B, called a drag bubble. It's called that because it drags you away from the gate the other direction. So instead of landing on gate B, you will actually be pulled behind the gate, and you'll land at the edge of the bubble behind the gate. My personal preference on setting up bubbles for a gate camp is the stop bubble. Why I prefer that one is because you're in cloaky ships, people don't really know that there's a lot of ships there ready to kill them. So they actually go into the bubble to burn straight through the gate. And when they're in the bubble, they cannot warp away anymore. So then everyone decloaks and kills the target. And most of the times the pod will also still be in the bubble, and we kill that pod as well. If you would do that on a drag bubble on your hand, burn back to the gate if you have a drag bubble, you will not be pulled into the, you will not burn through the bubble itself, you will just go to empty space. Which means that if they're fast enough, they can simply warp away, and their pod most likely will not be in a bubble and can also just warp away. As a question, can you explain how bubbles pull targets? I'm not exactly sure what you mean by that question. But basically, if a bubble is in line, directly in line with the point where you came from, and the point that you're going to warp to, it will actually don't let you land on the place you were actually wanting to go to, which is the gate. But it will stop you in case of a drag bubble, the edge of the bubble in front of the gate, or it will stop or will drag you behind and you'll land in the bubble behind the gate. How exactly it does that? Well, it just happens. It's how the game works. And a last thing about the bubbles, if you have both a stop bubble and a drag bubble up, so bubble A and bubble B are up, you will land at the edge of the first bubble, which means you will land in bubble A at the X. You will not land in bubble B. You will just go to the first bubble that's in line. So that's how bubbles work. What you want to do also on your bubbles is you will want to get some of your own fleet members to warp to gate A and warp back to gate B. and they land in our own bubble, and you want them to jettison a can at the location they are pulled out of warp from. This will do a few things. It will give you something to warp to, if you want. And it will also cause other things that have a covert cloak to decloak on the cans when they land in the bubble. Which is very handy, because the bubble itself will not decloak people. Unless you actually go within 2,000 meters of the mobile warp disruptor itself. You can also, if someone dies exactly on the edge of the bubble, the wreck itself will also decloak people, and corpses will also decloak. So that's why most of the times we actually leave wrecks and corpses in the bubbles, just to make sure that we decloak as much as we can, so we can kill things like fighters. I saw a question. Can't you see a drag bubble when aligning to destination and just warp to someplace else? If the first gate is in directional range of the second gate, yes, you can. You can see there's a bubble on the gate. You will not know exactly where it is, but you will be able to see it. And yes, you can warp to a planet and then to the gate, and you will avoid the bubble. However, because there is no actual ships on the gate, because you're all cloaked, people will just say, there's nothing there. I can just warp straight to the gate and just burn through the bubble if it's in my way, and I'll just make it through. And then 20 ships to cloak next to them. So that's one of the advantages of the covert ops gate cam. However, if people are smart, they'll actually use a planet or something else to warp to first. And indeed, those will go past your gate cam. And there's not really a reliable way to actually catch. Another way people avoid bubbles is also to use on-grid tacticals. Basically, they are kind of like your own bookmarks that you would have, and they warp to a bookmark instead of the gate itself. However, you are in danger of getting probed out if you do that. Someone said local is your friend. Still, if there's people in local, but people don't see any ships on D-scan, people still get a bit lazy and they will just warp to the bubble. There's another question. Is there any way to warp to your bookmarks beside the clunky menu? You can right-click in space and go to your bookmarks. You can use the People and Places tab to warp to your bookmarks. Other than that, I don't think there's any hotkey or something that will allow you to align and warp to a bookmark you have. Another question, what do you do if there aren't any special demands of to get around and you don't have bookmarks? Well, basically you're screwed, and you'll just have to try and hope there's nothing on the gate ready to kill you, or you have to go another way, avoid the system altogether. But that's not always possible. Next question, how long do bubbles last? That depends on the kind of bubble. If you have a mobile warp disruptor, it's an extra structure you anchor, they last forever. There are also interdiction probes. They are launched by the Interdictor class ship. They last for 3 minutes, if I'm not mistaken. And the last kind of bubble is from a heavy interdictor, and that's an active module fitted on the ship. And those bubbles will stay there as long as the module is active. Another question, what's the optimal range from the gate to set up a bubble? From experience, it's either 30 or 20 kilometers from the gate. That will get the targets that warp into the bubble in decent range from the gate itself. So you can shoot it easily, and you can still be able to shoot everyone that comes through the gate from the other side. You can kind of use the same tactic with the bookmarks that you have on jump bridges. Jump bridge is typically a module that works kind of like the Black Ops bridge, unless it's fitted to a pulse. And people use it to get ships across NOSEC faster. However, the big downside of trying this tactic on a jump bridge is pulse guns. Pulse guns shoot your bubbles and they shoot you if you stay decloaked too long at the pulse. And pulse guns hurt, so this is only recommended if you have a lot of bombers and you can kill a target really, really fast. Another question, what ship do you use to burn tacticals? My personal favorite would be a covered up ship like a Helios or a Cheetah. They have a cloak so they can cloak up if something tries to kill them, and they can also fit a micro warp drive, which makes making bookmarks quite fast. Are there any more questions about the gate cam? Okay then. Next up, it's kind of my personal favorite. Covert ops, hot drops. This is using a single pilot that has a covert sinusoidal field generator fitted on the ship. I will link the module. To go out, find targets, and tackle the target. And then light the covert sino and have a fleet ready on a covert op, on a black ops ship, ready to jump in at a moment's notice. The big advantages of the covert sinusoidal field generator over the regular sino is that it only has a base of a 1 minute cycle time instead of the 10 minutes that a normal sino has. The other big advantage is that it doesn't show up on your overview or on anyone's overview. It will not show up if you're not on grid with it. That means no one knows where the covert sino is actually located, and not everyone in the system can just warp to the beacon that a normal sino would put in the overview. Another major advantage of the covert sinusoidal field is that it can be used in a sino-jammed system. Some NOSEC alliances that have sovereignty fit covert sinusoidal system jams on their pulses, and those will prevent you from ever lighting a regular sino in that system. However, a covert sino can still be used in that system, and that is another nice surprise because people don't expect it. Another advantage of the covert sinusoidal field is that it only uses 25 liquid ozone as fuel instead of the 100 that is required for a regular one if you have a covert sinusoidal, if you have a sinusoidal field theory at level 5. This is also even better when you add the recon ship bonuses to this, which makes a covert sino only last 50 seconds and use 5 liquid ozone. Which means you can do a lot of covert sinos with just a very tiny bit of fuel. Okay, the advantages of doing a hot drop. Well, the biggest advantage is you're basically one ship and you have the ability to get an entire fleet ready right at where you are within like 5 seconds. That will mean that local, which is the most important intel tool for NOSEC, is not as useful because you see only a single ship enter local. And sometimes people are not very scared by that and they just continue doing ratting or shooting a POCO or whatever the hell people are doing. And with just one ship there, they think, oh, I'll be fine, nothing can happen. And then a ship decloaks next to them, they light a covert sino, and suddenly there's 30 more people in local all shooting you with torpedoes. That is not very fun for the target, seeing the amount of rage we get when we actually try this tactic. another big advantage is that you have your fleet basically always with you, like 15 seconds away. Maybe a bit less with the new jump transitions. Jumping has been a bit faster. So you basically light a Sino, and within a few seconds you have a whole fleet there. And you're not alone anymore. The thing with the covert Sinosaur Field Generator is a Titan cannot bridge to it. So it would be kind of overpowered if someone lighted a covert Sino and a whole Battleship fleet jumped through it. So that's why only a Black Ops covert jump portal array can lock onto a covert Sinosaur Field. And again, another advantage is the surprise. People don't expect just 30 people to appear out of nowhere. The major disadvantages of using this tactic is you're basically only one or two guys that are hunting for targets are actually doing something. The rest, everyone else is just sitting on the Black Ops, not doing anything, which can be extremely boring if there's not many targets to be found. And that can get morale down, and when morale gets down in a fleet, all sort of nasty things happen. Another disadvantage is, again, what you have for DPS is mostly bombers. Again, those are very fragile ships, so if you're hot-dropping into a red, into a anomaly or something, the reds can actually kill bombers before you can kill whatever you're shooting at. That is why, again, it is very nice to have a few recons with the bombers ready to jam out anything that tries to help the target that's tackled. Or to hold them down with webs and that kind of stuff. Another very big downside is it is quite skill intensive to be able to do a hot drop, and it requires a lot of people to do it. To do hot drops, you will need at least one Black Ops pilot. Training for a Black Ops ship takes a very, very long time. It also costs quite a few of ISK to buy a Black Ops ship fitted. And then there is also the fuel cost, which if you bridge a fairly large fleet, it can get up to millions or billions fairly fast. Another disadvantage is that you need a lot of people to actually make it happen. You need hunter killers. Those are the guys that are actually looking for targets. They have to have covert Sinosaurial Field Theory, which is the prerequisite for the Sino at level 5, which is, I think, a 28-day skill. So you need people to have that. You probably will need more than one guy that has a covert Sino. Most of the times you will also want to go back with a Black Ops bridge, so you don't have to burn through 10 systems of NullSec with gate camps and all sorts of really not fun stuff. Then there is more problems like logistics. You have to have a lot of fuel ready to go. If you don't have fuel, you have to buy it, you have to haul it. Especially if you're in deep NullSec, you will have to bring covert haulers with you to haul fuel. And those all require pallets. And you say being a covert hauler in a fleet is not very fun. You can't actually shoot anything. Then, like I said earlier, once a target has been found and a Sino has been lit, you have to be within 2,500 meters of the Black Ops ship. Just right-click the Black Ops ship and you'll have an option to jump to it. Then the other side is the Hunter. The Hunter, yeah, it does what it says. It hunts for targets. It is mostly, you can use a lot of ships to hunt with. I personally love to go hunting in a bomber. It doesn't have a lot of tank, but I fit mine with a medium shield extender and a medium ancillary shield booster. And it can actually tank 18 assault frigates until the charges run out. I did die, however, but I thought it was kind of awesome to do that. Most That's not the ship that most people use, and most people use a recon ship to hunt with, either a Rapier, a Arazu, a Pilgrim, or a Falcon. Usually a Falcon doesn't have ECM fitted, it just has a massive shield tank fitted. With an Arazu, it's very easy to hunt with because of the increased point range. You can tackle stuff that's really far away from you, and the increased scrambler range is also very handy when trying to catch a battleship that has a micro jump drive fitted. Pilgrims can be useful too if you have a target that, if you don't have a lot of bombers with you and you need to neut his cap away to turn off his tank and sort of, and that sort of things. And then there's the Rapier that can just use his webs to lock its target in place so it can't go anywhere. You can also hunt with a Tech 3 cruiser. I wouldn't exactly recommend it, especially if it's one of your first times, because those ships are fairly expensive. A basic fit is around 450 to 500 million. But the advantage you have is that those ships can have a massive, massive tank, so you can survive for a long time. It is also possible to hot drop Tech 3 battleships on something. The major downside of hot dropping with Tech 3 cruisers. The major downside is they are actually cruiser-sized, and that will take a lot of fuel because the mass of the ship determines how much fuel is used. I've seen that most Tech 3s are actually armor-tanked fuel when trying to bridge three ships onto a target. But it can be done, and it can be very funny. There was a question, how do you jump back? This requires another pilot. Basically, the hunter finds a target and lights a sino, and then you jump in, you kill the target, and everyone warps off to a celestial or makes a safe spot for himself. What happens next is the hunter lights another covered sino at a safe spot in the system you just killed your target in. The Black Ops itself jumps into that system. I actually may have not said that, but Black Ops ships itself have a jump drive. They can jump to a sino or a covered sino. So the hunter lights another sino, the Black Ops jumps to it, and then you need to have another covered sino in a low-sec system close to where you originally, a low-sec or no-sec system close to where you originally jumped from. He lights a sino, then everyone warps to the Black Ops first. Then what we call the return sino, lights a sino, and everyone is bridged towards the return sino, and then the Black Ops jumps back out to the return sino as well. Then you go back to your place where you formed up earlier. The best way that up that we have found out with Bomberspar is you pick a high sec system that is fairly close to a no-sec area, so you have decent range to where you can bridge from. You make sure that HiSec has a low-sec system next to it, because you cannot light a covert sino in HiSec systems. And you basically put the Black Ops ship on the undock of the station, which means stuff like smart bombers will not be able to warp to you and smart bomb your whole fleet when it's sitting on the Black Ops, because you can't activate smart bombs on a station. Then you have another pilot with a covered sino in a safe spot in the low sec next to it. And that will be your return sino. So you jump from high sec into null sec or into low sec, because you can also do covered hot drops in low sec. And then you go back to the low sec system that's right next to your high sec system. And then you just use the gate, go back to the HiSec system, and farm up again. That's probably the safest way to actually do this. I will not talk about the hunting itself. It is basically a combination of a scouting and a tackling role, and I think that's enough to fill a whole other class with. Well, I think there's actually almost everything I wanted to cover. Unless people really want me to explain how to hunt, but that's a fairly advanced thing and you need a covered rhino, and I doubt any one of you has trained that skill yet. So, I think now is a very good time to ask questions about anything I've covered in this class. If something you didn't understand and you want to know more about something, just ask. Question, with what Black Ops is mostly? I'd say, actually, I don't know. Sin is fairly often used, the Widow and the Redeemer. The Panther is kind of the one that no one uses. Like I said, the Redeemer is the one that's actually used to kill stuff with. You can also light a covert rhino and just jump a whole bunch of Black Ops battleships to the covert rhino and kill it with covert and kill it with Black Ops ships. It does happen sometime, but putting a 800 million ship on the line to kill something is probably not the best idea. That I know, it is the Sin and the Widow for actually bridging, and then the Redeemer for if you want to actually shoot stuff with it. There's a question, if a ship is cloaked, can you probe it down? No, if your ship is cloaked, you cannot be probed down, which is very nice, which caused a lot of nullsec Care Bears to be very, very angry, because people put a cloak on the ship, go into system, and then go AFK, and people do not know whether or not that ship has a Sino fitted on it, so they're constantly scared of being hot dropped. And they get really angry about that. Question, what does the Sim provide? Well, like I said, it has a lot of low slots and a decent amount of medium slots. So it can fit a lot of fuel in its fuel bay, which is very, which makes it easier to jump large groups of people with it. Question, does the Panther do anything well, or should we just not fly them? Well, like I said, the Panther doesn't have a really nice bonus. It has bonus to projectile damage, just projectile guns. Doesn't have bonus that the Redeemer has. It also has one less medium slot, the Sin, and doesn't have drones, which are actually very useful. So that's why the Sin is more often used than the Panther. Question, can the Black Ops fleet boost? No, the Black Ops cannot fleet boost. However, it is possible to actually fit a Tech 3 cruiser with both a covert ops subsystem and the subsystem that allows it to fit boosts. So you can use a covert Tech 3 cruiser to boost into your system. Another question, what's my favorite cloaking ship? That's a hard one. I'd say it's a tie between the Cloaky Proteus and the Manticore and the Purifier. I like the covered Proteus because it has quite good DPS, fairly good tank, and more range on the scramblers. So my main lives in a wormhole, and that's where it shines. So, and for bombers, well, there's nothing better than just a bomber. The Manticore is very nice because it has a lot of utility. You can fit a lot of EVAR on it. You can basically pick whatever you want. If I go hunting with my bomber, it's also a Manticore. It's just the four medium slots. Yeah, you can't beat that. And then there's the Purifier, which I like because it has a lot of power grid. So it's easy to fit with a Tech 2 Turps and a medium shield extender, and then have a very, very high amount of DPS. I think with my skills, I get around 780 DPS overloaded on a Purifier. There was also a question, time to talk about wormholes. Well, at the beginning of the class, I said I probably won't be talking about that because of to cover the tactics you'll be able to use in wormholes, I have to explain a lot about wormholes itself. And that will take a lot of time instead of just explaining the tactics, which won't make sense if you don't know anything about wormholes. No, I also won't have a practical. This is because I mostly like to put up gate cams or hot drops in a player-owned NOSAC, and EVE University is not allowed to go there. I could try to get a practice in NPC NOSAC sometime, but I did not prepare for that, so I can't do that right now. And yes, what is said, you can fit a covert tech tree booster. However, when you are cloaked, you cannot activate your fleet boosts. And someone asked to plug Bomber's Bar. I will. Okay, Bomber's Bar. Bomber's Bar is a group of basically everyone in EVE that just loves to fly covered up ships. Mostly bombers. They have a special rule with this, which is NPSI, which means not purple, shoot it. That means everything that is not in fleet is a valid target. That means if you go in NOSAC, you can, and you find a corp mate or something, we will not shoot it. Or we will not shoot it because you ask us. We shoot everything. This also means we have very, very little politics, which is also a great thing about Bomber's Bar. Like, most people burn out on the politics that comes with NOSAC. And so people just come to Bomber's Bar and go shoot whatever the hell they want in bombers. And that's what a lot of people like, apparently, because at prime time in the weekends, we have about 500 to 600 people in the Bomber's Bar main channel. And I recently heard there are 4,000 people subscribed to the Bomber's Bar mailing list. So apparently a lot of people like. Okay, so if you would like to find Bomber's Bar, you just go to open channel window, and then you type in Bomber's Bar. I'll type it in lecture. And that will take you directly to our channel. There are also a few mailing lists that you can go to. If you want to add a mailing list, you go to your EVE mail. There should be a button, add mailing list. And there are a lot of you can, well actually, I think there's two you guys might like. There is just the Bomber's Bar mailing list. It's spelled the same way as the channel. And then there is Bomber's Bar Fits. I typed that in lecture as well. When you join that, you'll immediately get a mail with fits that Bomber's Bar has created for all the bombers and the recon ships. So if you ever have troubles coming up with a fit yourself, you can look there. But like I said, just don't copy them mindless. Try to see why stuff is fitted on it and try to learn from them. You can still ask more questions. And I think in the meantime, I will just go plug Bomber's Bar some more and post all of their very awesome videos. There's a question. Is there no Bomber's Bar Corp or Alliance? Well, there is a Bomber's Bar Corporation. However, that one is reserved for fleet. For FCs of the Bomber's Bar only to get access to wallets so we can actually buy bombs for you and buy fuel. Yeah, for the guys that didn't know, a Bomber's Bar always tries to cover for bombs and fuel so you guys don't have to pay for that. If you have more questions, just ask. I'm gonna link some nice little videos for you guys to watch. Well, I think everyone's leaving already, so that means thank you for attending my class. I think it went rather well. So, maybe until next time. And thank you again for coming.